Hi, everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. We might have some new listeners. Welcome, new listeners. We will never forget our old listeners, but we have some new listeners. And they are from a couple podcasts that have been helping promote us recently. We wanted to thank them. First was Moms and Murder, and they played our
promo
teaser. Which
teaser's
was,
cool.
Yeah, they're so supportive of us. They're awesome. Also,
For Crying Out Loud.
For Crying Out Loud.
For Crying Out Loud / Sword and Scale Rewind.
Those ladies did.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, they spent a good 10 minutes discussing us, which was amazing. And
yes.
Most recently, Crime Writers On, the lovely Rebecca interviewed us and put it on the show. We tried so hard to convince them to watch Dateline and to love Keith Morrison. I don't want to say we failed, although they all did say no, they are not going to listen to Dateline. So I guess we did fail.
Time will tell. It's going to be they're researching a different case, and that case will have a connection, will have been a Dateline episode at some point, so they'll have to go back to it. And they'll watch a couple more episodes and be like, huh, maybe they were right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Kimberly and Katie had something there.
Maybe it was that they just don't like Keith. Maybe we really should have pitched them harder on Mankey and Andrea.
Maybe they like the more sarcastic hosts,
which would be Mankey.
Josh.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, we'll try again later. Regardless.
But they're great people, and thank you for having us on your show. We love
all
you.
All of these podcasts, Moms and Murder, Crime Writers On, Sword and Scale Rewind, and For Crying Out Loud. If you don't listen to those podcasts already, why not? Get on it. Subscribe.
I feel foolish recommending people to listen to those, since those podcasts are so much greater than ours.
But there's been a lot
of
times.
It is like the plankton recommending, check out this shark.
But that's okay, because a lot of times I will have missed a major podcast and I go back and I'm like, well, why didn't I see this before? So maybe there's a couple people out there that are like, wait a minute, what's Crime Writers On? Or wait a minute, Sword and Scale has a rewind? Yeah, Sword and Scale has a recap. That's great.
Yes.
So I think it's okay. We're getting the word out. They're getting the word out. We're all getting the word out.
And I love these podcasts all have these strong women. I love it.
Yes, they do.
Female podcasters. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. All right, so what is this episode of Dateline about that we watched?
It's called Out There in the Dark, which is, again, a title that could apply to 20 to 30% of the episodes, probably. It is season 25, episode 14. It aired on January 26th. Of 2018.
Season 26.
We are on season 26. What did I say?
Season 25.
I did? Season 26. Hosted by Dennis Murphy. Mr. Dennis is Enough. 2 weeks in a row we've gotten Dennis is Enough, right?
But we had not had Dennis is Enough for many weeks.
Right.
Leading up. Since the start of the new season, now we're getting a bunch of him.
For new listeners, we should say you know, Keith has his lean, Mankiewicz has his smirk and his hankies, Andrea has her perfection and her withering stare, and Dennis is Enough. He doesn't need a thing.
He doesn't.
Although he brought a lot of things this week.
He had some
phrasing.
I'm going to say it. I'm really hoping that Dennis Murphy is at Crime Con when we go in May.
That would be
I am
fun.
Really hoping that he's the Dateline representative. I'm fine with anyone, but I would be kind of extra excited if it was Dennis.
Really?
Yeah, I have some questions for him, and I think that he maybe would go to Chili's with us.
Why do you always take it to Chili's?
I don't have a good answer for that. Yeah, I know. It's all right. Okay.
So this episode starts out with Kohl's Cash. We got Kohl's right away. I've never been in a Kohl's, but so many of these gals on Dateline just seem like people that we should go to Kohl's with.
Yeah.
And spend our Kohl's cash.
Yeah. And
this is what we talk about on Twitter. You should really join us on Twitter during the week, all of you who aren't, because we discuss things like which person on Dateline would we like to go to Kohl's with.
Brandi Daniels working at Kohl's, who's our victim in this story.
Yeah, she was cute. She had cute glasses.
Yeah.
She had a little pony.
Brandi.
Yeah. Okay. So we like Brandi. Brandi is a single mom, 25 years old. She's driving home from her shift at Kohl's. She's talking to, this is in Ohio, by the way. In 2014.
Zanesville. We never get a Z.
I thought it was a mistake. I thought it was Gainesville. So Brandi is talking to her much older, 20 years plus older fiance, Craig, on her cell phone while she's driving. Craig is a hairstylist.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Did you not like Craig?
I was fine with Craig as a person. With Craig as a hairdresser, I have many issues. If I walked in and he was my hairdresser, I would straight up leave. I would fake a phone call and say, I have to go. My house just burned down.
Well, this is why we do this podcast, because I 100% disagree with you. If I walked in and Craig was my stylist, I'd be like, he's going to do a great job.
His hair was permed and crispy. Permed.
It is naturally curly and it was wet. There's a difference between gel and wet.
Why would he possibly have wet hair on Dateline while he's being interviewed by Dennis
Murphy? It was moist. It was moisturized. Did he just take a shower? It was moisturized hair.
So it was gelled or moussed.
Okay.
That's the same as Aquanet in my book.
But you did not think that Craig had kind eyes?
No. You know what, in fact, about his eyes? They were all one color. They were like all black.
That, he's got that thing. He's got that Evan Peters thing. It's an eye disorder.
Conveys kindness in Evan Peters? Do you think Evan Peters from American Horror Story appears like a kind person? In the latest season, he played a cult leader who murdered people. And you think he has kind eyes?
I think that Greg's expression around Craig's expression around his pitch black eyes, the arch of his eyebrows, the shape of his face, the way he spoke about Brandy, and the way that Brandy's mother later speaks about Craig.
Yes.
Puts him in high esteem in this episode in my book.
I agree completely. That doesn't mean I can not think his hair sucks. Are you dropping things?
I'm just going to make some notes.
Fine. Make some notes. I thought he was a great guy for her. He's 20 years older. She has a kid and he loves her. And seems like a very sweet guy. I just would not want him doing my hair.
Judgy.
That's fair. That's fair. You're the one who's been friends with me for this long. What does that say about you?
I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to
you
be the light.
You thought you could change me.
I'm trying to be this little light all the time.
Yeah, it's not going well for you. Hey, should we talk about what actually happens in this episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so she mentions that someone is driving too close behind her, and then the call drops. Brandy's sister, next thing we know, is calling 911, saying Brandy is in her car and she's bloody.
Well, no, but I didn't understand where she is. She's
at
like
the driveway at her mom's house.
But she's down the way. It's a ways away from the house, right?
I don't know.
The reason I'm asking this question is because literally the entire episode is called Out There in the Dark, right?
Right, but if the house lights are on, it really wouldn't be that dark. Is that
exactly
your point?
Exactly.
She wasn't out in the woods.
So she must have been, I'm guessing it was along, and they talk about how there's this wooded area. So it must have been down a long driveway. She was stalled at the beginning of it or something.
No, it's just not a good title.
Oh, is that it? Seriously? Yeah. That's annoying. Okay, no, so we have 2 weeks in a row with shoddy titles. Okay.
So Craig, the boyfriend, pulls up and the cops are already there and they say she's dead. She's been shot 3 times execution style. Brandy's mom is just leaving her job at the bottle factory. Now, why did they feel the need to throw that in?
I don't know.
Did it not seem like an extraneous detail that now has got me thinking about Laverne and Shirley putting on the glove and smiling at it and waving as it goes down the, like, hijinks at the bottle factory?
We're gonna do it our way, it's our way, make all our dreams.
But Brandy's mom, like a tough chick, she seems very hardy stock.
I like Brandy's mom a lot. She's a real person.
She was definitely a real person.
I liked her.
Okay, so they don't think it was a robbery because her purse is still there. Brandy's soon-to-be ex-husband, so she's not yet divorced, but she has a fiancé in Craig. Is that a common thing, getting engaged before you are actually divorced?
I think sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so her baby daddy and soon-to-be ex-husband is Josh, a weightlifter. Now, I'm going to skip ahead. We don't get this selfie of note that wrecked me in my I had bad dreams. This selfie, they show it later, but I'm going to talk about it now. Okay, so Josh is the most roided out person I've seen in a long time on Dateline. He is wearing, in this selfie taken at the gym, of course, he is wearing kind of an Ed Hardy tank top, and his right pec is the biggest boob I've ever seen, sticking out of the tank top. It's bigger than his arm, huge, or it's like a tumor with a nipple on it.
Time code. What's the time code?
I took a picture of it. Do you not recall this picture?
I don't recall it, so I need you on my phone. Oh, gross.
He's just very bumpy. He has big bumps on his neck. He's like that superhero that has rocks covering him. Do you know what I'm talking
about? Yes, I do. No, yeah, he's a roided out guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a huge boob.
Well, you've done it. So, Josh is living in Alaska at the time of the murder. So, it can't be him. And there are no useful prints or DNA at the scene. And Craig, the fiancé's story, checks out. But Craig tells the cops, check out this friend of Josh at the gym. And his name is Sirius E. Underwood. Check it out. That's a good name.
Yeah.
It is spelled like Sirius Black. I was very excited. Sirius comes in to talk to the police. He says he barely knew Brandy, but he used to be friends with her ex, Josh. He's this, like, charming workout guy. He's very cute. He looks like a poor man's Taye Diggs.
He's very handsome.
Very good looking. Very big smile. Sirius was at his girlfriend Wendy's house. Now, Wendy... Okay, here we have another May-December romance in this episode.
There are a lot of May-December romances in this episode.
Yeah. So Wendy, they first tell us she is a mother of five.
By the way, my first OMG moment. I had to stop it because I was like, wait, what?
Mother of five. What? Sirius is probably about 25 years old, right? Because he's about the same age as Josh and Brandy.
But okay, again, this goes to that thing that you were saying about why Brandy is engaged before she's not married to Josh. Brandy and Josh got married really young. I think they must have been like 19 or 20 and they had their daughter right away.
Yes.
But like, I think that all of these people just... Zanesville must be mildly small, and so that's why you end up with someone quickly, right?
How old do we think Wendy is?
I think it's just enough to say that she's 10 to 15 years older than Sirius, at least.
At least.
But you never know. It's really difficult to tell, but it's surprising that this mother of five is dating this gym rat who looks like Taye Diggs. Let's just say that. But I mean, the heart wants what it wants, I guess. But I have issues.
What her heart wants.
But I have, she wants the hot young boyfriend.
Yeah, but
I have
what issues does he want?
With Wendy aside from all this. So,
well, okay. Do you want to talk about them now?
I want to get through the recap.
Okay. So they met at this local college that everyone seems to meet at.
Zanesville.
Yeah.
Zanesville State.
Zane State College. Whatever. So they all met there and they were in the ad campaign for the school. She keeps trying to say it's because they both seem nice. And I'm like, no, it's because they want diversity. And he's super hot and black. And you are an older lady going back to school. So Wendy comes into the police station. Wendy tells the police that Sirius got to her house the night of the murder after 11. And she thinks she's helping him out, but it actually would have left him enough time to complete the murder. So they're really looking at Sirius. And the IT guy, I added IT guy solves the case on our bingo cards.
Oh, that's good.
That happens sometimes.
Yes, it does.
The IT guy finds internet searches on Sirius' phone. He has been opening every single article related to the murder, which is relevant because earlier in the day he had told the police that he did not know that Brandy had been murdered. So Dennis asks us, or himself, the question. He actually says the word question, so you know he's asking a question.
That's good.
He says, question, was Sirius the gunman in Brandy's driveway? Now, we know that that's the question, Dennis. That is literally the point of the entire episode. Who is the killer?
Correct.
So I understand why you're asking it, but it seems a little redundant. That is the purpose of the show. So the IT
guy... It's more for him than for us.
Okay. That's valid. Whatever he needs, he's enough. So yeah. The IT guy delves into Josh's phone. They had synced up with Josh's phone before he went back to Alaska. Sirius had said that he and Josh were just casual friends. Josh had not even mentioned that he knew a Sirius. So they check the phone, and Josh had deleted a ton of conversations between himself and Sirius. In fact, Sirius was the person he texted with more than anybody else. And Sirius, so far, all we know is he is very attractive in appearance.
And charming.
And charming.
Very, very charming.
Yeah. And willing to date an older gal with 5 kids.
Yeah. So every
he could have a heart of gold.
And everyone in the police department keeps saying how charming he is.
I think they all had little crushes on him. Like, yeah, of course. Sirius is coming in today. Ooh, Sirius, can I sit in?
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to watch through the monitor. Okay.
Everybody
is doing, primping.
Getting ready.
So the adorable cop, I did find one of the cops kind of adorable. He has a little bit of baby face. He looks through the thousands of cell phone tower pings. Mark that off on your bingo card. That mm-hmm. night, the night of the murder, and he finds one out of all these thousands that is a 310 area code. Uh-oh. Southern California coming in and causing some trouble.
310. Also, you can buy a burner phone with a different area code?
I know. I guess it just depends on where it's manufactured.
I have that in all caps. What are you talking about? That's crazy.
So this burner phone, it was purchased in town in Ohio a week before the murder. How smart is my cop that he went through thousands and thousands of phone records to get to that one? That's pretty impressive.
It is impressive.
The 310 burner phone only made 2 calls, one to another burner phone, which is very smart. And what have we been saying?
Double burners.
And I wanted to give a shout out because we talk about our idea all the time to sell burner phones in 2-packs. Because mm-hmm. it's only useful if you're calling another burner phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
so who are you shouting out to?
The person who originally came up with that idea. MKL2132 on Twitter was the first one who said they should be sold in 2-packs. And I said, yes, we're stealing your idea because it's brilliant. And the burner phone also made another call to, guess who? Josh Daniels in Alaska. So the cops search Josh's phone and they find a call from that 310 number and there's a voicemail to it and they recognize the voice as Sirius. Sad.
Dun, dun,
hot
dun.
Sirius. Hot Sirius is looking a little less hot. So the cops want to do another deep dive on Sirius's phone, but Sirius is too smart for them. He's completely wiped his phone.
So when they called him in the first time, he turns over his phone because he had deleted Josh's burner information off his phone. And then when he comes back in the second time, he doesn't think they're going to look at his phone again. I don't think they tell him that. And then when they ask to see his phone, he says, well, it's in my girlfriend's car. It's in Wendy's car out front. And so they have a warrant to look at the phone, but they don't have a warrant to go into the car.
Ooh.
So as they're scrambling to try to get the warrant to go into the car, he goes out to the car and erases completely whatever you do.
Factory resets it.
Right. You wipe your phone. He wiped his phone. So by the time they got the warrant, because they would have needed permission to go into her car to get his phone, and he did not give them permission to do that. So he used that time period mm-hmm. to go and do it. So I wish Dateline would have explained it, because it made it a little bit more like, oh, he was thinking on his feet in that situation. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. So turns out Josh and Brandy's marriage was abusive, and she had gotten a restraining order against him when she left him. And then we get to, which was my OMG moment, they send Dennis to Alaska to do his commentary.
Let me ask you, did you think he was in front of a green screen at first?
No.
Did you think?
Okay. Did you?
I did. I did because Alaska is like a postcard. So when I first saw it, I thought, oh, surely they did not put Dennis in a puffy parka. And set him out in front of a green screen. And then later, you can tell that he's not. But at the first shot, I was like, oh, no.
No, because you saw his hair was a little flying because it was cold out. And his hands were in his pockets.
Yeah.
He's basically standing on ice. It's like an icy tundra.
Yeah, he's
as far as the eye can see.
He's in a glacier. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's in one of those giant puffy fur lined jackets. And he's in Wasilla. It did make me laugh a little. Thought it was very, I couldn't believe they sent him there.
My thought was that he probably wanted to go. They don't get a lot of stuff in Alaska that I've seen. So my guess is Alaska is gorgeous and has a lot of neat stuff to do. Yeah, I hope he had a vacation out of it. I think he tied it in with a vacation. I think he did two back-to-back episodes and was like, can I take 2 weeks? And maybe took the fam, maybe went on a cruise and like looked at glaciers and stuff like that.
I just didn't want to feel like they were treating Dennis like, you know, during a hurricane and they send those poor reporters out to stand on the sidewalk and scream into the wind to tell the inside reporters how bad the storm is. And they're like, it's really windy out here, Tom and Maria. I should probably get out of the way. And then back to you, Tom and Maria. And then Tom is like, hey, Ken, what are you hearing from the locals out there? Like asking him more questions. So he has to stay out there. And these poor guys are just going to get blown away. And I didn't want to feel like Dennis was being treated like that. Like,
I totally understand. Send you.
So I hope he got a vacation out of it. I'm happy. So the cops totally think Sirius and Josh in it together, but they don't have any proof. 3 months after the murder, this lady contacts the Ohio police. She says she's one of Josh's girlfriends. He has a bunch. Maybe she was his fiance. And he's dating
fiance.
A
ton. No, it was her fiance.
But he's dating many women in Alaska, they said.
They said
he's dating all over Alaska.
Well, they said he's partying. He's got, what did they say he's doing?
He's working, partying. The oil rig or oil something.
Because you know about those oil rig jobs, right? You make tons of money.
Right.
And that's kind of what a certain set of guys will do, is they go up there to just make a ton of money. There's nothing to do but drink. It's cold. It's dark. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, it's dark almost, or it's light all the time. It's one of those two.
It's weird. I watch Alaskan Bush people. I know what's up.
You know what's up. Okay.
So he's dating his way amongst all the local girls, I think. And this one local girl thinks she's engaged to him. I just don't believe that ever actually happened. She says she was with Josh on the 4th of July, and he got drunk, as you do on the 4th of July, and you confess to murders on the 4th of July, because it's the day of freedom, and you want your conscience to be free. So. Sure. He says something like, it sounded more like he was threatening her, because he said something like, I will do to you what I had done to Brandy. And she's like, what'd you do? And he said, I killed her with a phone call.
Yeah.
And I had this black guy from the gym kill her.
That upset me a little bit.
Yeah. Don't just call Sirius this black guy from the gym.
Well, he also qualifies it that he's a black guy. Why don't you just say I had this guy from the gym killer? Why is he like, I know this black guy from the gym. Yeah,
he's your friend.
If I've ever heard one.
My black friend did this thing for me.
Right.
The cops go to the state attorney and they're like, look, we obviously have enough. State attorney is like, you need motive before we go to the grand jury. So they just can't figure out. They know why Josh would want to kill Brandy, because they used to be married and she's leaving him for this long-haired hairstylist. But they don't get why Sirius would do something. So they can't find any record of a payment. And we've discussed many times on this show the level of payments. But there's a payment that is usually noticeable enough that they would be able to find it on bank statements. It's at least 10 grand to commit a hit job.
So yes, absolutely.
The detectives then get a message on Facebook from a lady who says that her husband is part of a stick-up gang. Now, are we a stick-up gang? Like, we're in the old Wild West shooting up some bank and trains. We're robbing trains.
I was surprised at stick-up gang. I was like, it's surely called something else. It's called a burglary ring or a robbery ring.
Stick-up gang.
They also refer to them as bandits at one point.
Dennis is old-fashioned.
He is, and I kind of like that about Dennis.
I do, too.
I liked that.
I do, too. Yeah. But why would you possibly reach out to police on Facebook to turn in your husband? I'm not on Facebook, but I would assume it would be very easy for the husband to see that she had written them if he were to go into her account. Is it a public page? She wrote something. like from her name, she must have personal messaged them, but that still seems very risky. Yeah. I just, why would you leave an internet trail that you are turning in your husband? He's going to murder you.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I see exactly what you're saying.
That girl is dumb.
Yeah, maybe
you
so.
You call the police from a payphone and you change the sound of your voice.
Or just go in.
Or just go in when your husband is somewhere far away.
I need to remain anonymous. Yeah.
So she says that there's this robbery gang and that two members of the gang are Sirius and Josh. And for years now, before the murder, before Josh moved to Alaska, they were doing all of these robberies all over town. And there's security footage of all the robberies, but they're all wearing these big hoods. They're wearing hoods a lot like Dennis is wearing in the Alaska footage. It's possible Dennis... is
you're thinking because
a burglary
one of them was
gang.
Because one of them was a fur.
Yes.
One of them had a fur thing.
But it was that it was the a giant hood, and you, if you keep your head down, you look kind of like a Dementor.
Yeah, a little
you
bit.
You can't see your face. It's a good disguise. The camera can't catch you. So while you're sucking people's souls out. The state's attorney now feels like they have a motive. Brandy could have found out about the robberies, and so now Josh and Sirius both have motive to kill her. The grand jury hears the evidence for 3 months, and they decide to indict Josh and Sirius. The lawyers and Dennis finally tell us that Josh is on steroids. Like, yeah, duh. We all know when we saw the giant right breast. So, without the steroids, though, Josh is now... there's a good quote. I'm going to get to it later.
Yeah, there's a really good quote.
But Josh now, I think, feels weaker because he's not all roided out. And now he's willing to talk, because now he's not all that machismo. So he's willing to take a plea. He's brought to this conference room, which has crazy purple wallpaper on it, which is so distracting. Now I get why they keep police interrogation rooms so plain, because it's for us, really. It's
That's a courthouse room.
No, they said it was
it's in the courthouse.
Okay. The Dateline producer tweeted what it was. I just can't remember what it was. They explained, I think so many people were commenting, what is this room? So Josh says that he was upset that Brandy was leaving him and was dating long-haired Kenny G. Craig. And Sirius was like, well, why don't we just kill her? They were actually going to kill Craig, too. They were going to kill the boyfriend as well. But they ended up not doing that. Josh gave Sirius all the info, where she lived, where she worked. And Sirius is the one that shot her. Josh basically blames the drugs and the alcohol. He was numbing his pain from their breakup, their divorce, with drugs and alcohol. And that made him crazy and murderous. He's very matter-of-fact when he's telling this. He's very matter-of-fact when he's talking about his daughter not having a mom anymore.
Yeah.
It never occurred to him that she would not have a mom. He just kind of thought he wouldn't get caught and then she wouldn't miss her mom. I don't quite get the correlation there, but okay. So the lawyers asked Josh why Sirius would do that for him. And I guess Sirius said to him, that's what dudes do for dudes, which I kind of found. I get why Sirius is charming. Come on. Like, he's a ride or die kind of bro friend. He's a murderer.
That's what dudes do for dudes.
He's like, that's my dude.
No. This reminds me of a Judge Judy episode.
Which one?
Where it ends. There's a tween in trouble. He's like 14 or so. So his dad is with him in the courtroom. And the kid gets in trouble for, I don't know, some sort of small vandalism, something. And Judge Judy just throws the book at him. And they come out in the interview afterwards with the reporters in the hallway. And the dad just goes, kids is kids.
You watch so Judge it. Judy?
Dude, this was a long time ago. It's the only thing I remember about Judge Judy is kids is kids. That's kind of like what Sirius did. He's my dude.
He's a dude.
Whatever.
Murder
That's
someone
so...
for your dude.
Murder.
It's what happens.
Oh, so brother.
Now they have to go on trial for Sirius. But before they go to trial, he agrees to an Alford plea, which anyone who watches Dateline or any crime show knows what an Alford plea is. I think they do. Because they've talked about it a lot. And it's when you, as a defendant, say, I know there's a ton of compelling evidence against me. I'm probably going to be convicted, but so I'll say that I'm guilty, but I'm not going to say that I did it. And Dennis plays dumb and goes, huh? It's like when he did that diabolical thing. Diabolical. Where'd you get that word?
He knows. He knows about an Alfred plea.
He knows what an Alfred plea is. So Sirius and Josh both get life in prison, but with a chance of parole. And Wendy still visits Sirius in prison. Well, I guess, like, I just don't... I mean, she has 5 kids, and he is still young and hot. So what if he's in prison for murder? Does she think she can't get anyone better? She seemed okay. I don't get it. Why is she still visiting him in prison? They're not getting booty calls in prison.
He might be a sex wizard.
I could totally see that.
We can totally see that.
Oh my God, can I see that? Mm-hmm. Taye Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got it. What would you like to talk about now that I've recapped my capping? I've capped my recap what? Has been capped.
That you've done your cap. Well, I have an OMG moment, and I have a little bit of outside information.
Go.
The OMG moment, the other one that I had is, did you see that they use a lot of CCTV about the stick-up gang?
Oh, yes.
With the robbers.
Oh, gosh. Are we going to be talking about the same thing? This was my guaca moment. Please,
we need to
please
talk
continue.
About... Yes. At 27 minutes and 50 to around 51, 52 seconds in, one of the places that they rob...
Yes. Totally
is
gonna be talking
footage,
about the same thing.
Footage of some folks in what appear to be purple and green Mardi Gras outfits. So the guy has on like a purple vest with a gold with beads and a purple top hat.
Yes.
And the girl has on some sort of
like showgirl dress.
Jaunty corseted top that's
with
striped,
a feather boa.
With a feather boa. It looks like they're doing a Mardi Gras costume party.
Or maybe I kind of thought Riverboat Casino. Okay, so they did give a list of places they broke
We're
into
find out right now.
There was a place called Tumbleweeds Restaurant. Is it possible that Tumbleweeds is a place where the people that work there dress up like that? Because he's an older gentleman in this purple shirt and purple hat next to this like flamenco girl with the feather boa and then a dog. And they're just hanging out in the back room. It's like a break room. I'm very confused. I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
There are a lot of people on Twitter who are from that town. If they could just tell us, was this Tumbleweeds? Was this a casino on a riverboat? Was this
Chuck E. Cheese? Yeah, exactly.
Because I could kind of see them being. What was happening there? And
we'll
I just
know.
Feel like you cannot show that and not explain it. You just need one word to tell us what that place is.
Right. And they just went, they zoomed right over the top of it.
Right.
It makes
and
absolutely
they also
no sense.
Zoomed over the lady with the maroon shirt who didn't seem that surprised that she was being robbed, that she was being pushed into the other room. So
no,
I need to know if she was in on it.
She was in on it, for sure. Because I saw that face, she kind of like smiles at him like she
yes!
knew him. And I was like, oh.
She didn't seem
is
scared
one of
Sirius's, at all.
Sirius's side piece. That's who that is. Yeah.
Did you have any outside info that you wanted to talk about?
I had like a few things. One of the things is that the police had searched Google searches on his phone when they first got Sirius's phone in his first interview. They went through his Google searches and they say that they found Google searches that had shown he had clicked on every article related to Brandy's murder, like even though he said that he didn't know she'd been murdered.
Right.
But they also found Google searches about how to delete text messages and how to make sure that text messages are really deleted.
Okay,
so he had a few things. Right, he had a few
my
things
boy
of
is
incrimination.
Not as smart.
It's because he Googled that on his phone. So
no, that's
you're
not
Googling
smart.
That on your phone. Right, okay. And then also, they say that Josh moved up to Alaska to be close to his mom, which is totally not true. Because what happened was Brandy filed domestic violence charges against him, and he said, how about you drop the charges and I will move to Alaska? So he was trying to kind of wheel and deal with her so that
Wait, I don't
she
understand.
Wouldn't have something on his record.
Oh, it was like a record thing. Because would you rather move to Alaska or just have to stay 200 yards away from someone but still be allowed in your hometown? But I guess if it's on your record and it's preventing you from... It's not preventing him from getting a job. He was a personal trainer.
But this wasn't just a restraining order. This was domestic violence charges.
Mm. So she would drop this whole thing if he moved.
Right. And I think she must have, because they tell us at the very beginning of the episode, when the police initially looked into him, he had no record whatsoever. Josh had no record. So a deal was made. And I'm sure that part of the deal was, I'm keeping our daughter and you're moving away.
Right, right. Which kind of makes sense.
Right. That was my thought. So what did you have for B-roll bonanza?
So we had the mom looking at a photo album, which I just added to the bingo cards, which is excited about. And then we had a twofer because we also had the mom pouring tea. So we had our coffee and tea B-roll. I was very excited. And then we had something that I will never put on the bingo card, which is Craig cutting hair. Lots of it. It was like a Barbizon commercial.
It was delightful. Although we didn't get to see enough of the salon. I wanted to see the name of the salon that he worked. I wanted to see if it was something cute, like Sheer Perfection.
Right.
I wanted to know.
I want to know if he does. Was he just. I did want to see more of Craig's salon. And if there was mani-pedis at the same place.
Did you see there was kind of like funky gears on the wall? They had those clockwork gears on the wall. I was wondering if it was a steampunk theme, perhaps.
Yeah.
Also would explain his long hair.
I don't think his long hair
crispy, curly hair.
Is that steampunk?
If you put a top hat with goggles on with that hair in one of those Victorian Edwardian suits.
Yeah, I gotcha. He also had a hoop earring. Did he not have a hoop earring?
Steampunk. Okay, this guy could totally have a whole nother world of stuff. We should have looked up his Facebook. We should have figured him out.
I'm glad we didn't. I'd prefer to think of him as I do.
You should prefer to think of him better than you do.
I know.
And I think that you would think better of him if he did some of these events and seemed really fun.
Like a steampunk event?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they do. They're not like Civil War reenactments. I don't know what they do. They have events?
No, they have their own conventions, and there's all sorts of steampunk-themed stuff all around.
Oh, yeah. I could see him at a Comic-Con.
Yeah. They have fun.
Okay. Sure. I want to know what your interests are, Craig. If you have interests similar to mine, we can hang. And I will totally avoid the hair situations.
Did you have any other B-roll?
No, I had quotes of the week. Many, many, many. Because Dennis was on a roll.
Yes, go. What did Dennis say? I know Dennis said a lot of stuff.
Number
so
one.
You wrote them down.
Like the song, Brandy turned out to be a fine girl for Craig. I don't know, something about that was kind of funny to me. Because he said for Craig, but technically like the song doesn't say... She's a good girl for Craig. The song just says she's a fine girl for anybody.
Yeah, she's a fine girl.
She's a fine girl,
period.
But he's kind of saying, like the song, she's a perfect match for Craig, 20 years older hairdresser. And I do not feel like that's what the song was saying. But nice try.
I feel like the sentence sort of made it sound like she was a fine girl for Craig. She was
just okay.
That's sort of, yeah.
She was a fine... She was okay.
But the song, they were an okay song match. also says, what a good wife you would be, things like that.
It's very flattering towards Brandy in the song.
They were getting married.
Yeah, that's sweet.
They were going to buy a house.
Were they? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So he must make good money hairdressing. And she must make good money at Kohl's. Or it's cheap to live in Ohio.
Yeah, they must live in a normal... Well, they must live in a place, that's not like Los Angeles, which is just... ridiculous.
Which is why we're going to move there. We're going to move to the East Coast somewhere so that we can get the East Coast feed of Dateline. I've already decided. People move across country to be near their boyfriends all the time. Dateline is our boyfriend. We are going to move closer to be near him.
Well, we can't afford to live in New England, so we're looking at maybe South Carolina then?
No, I want to live in Maine. I want to live where Jessica Fletcher lives. I want to live in Cabot Cove.
Your hands are going to turn blue and fall off.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I won't be leaving the house for 5 months out of the year.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Okay, so second quote, Dennis gets colloquial, I notice, when he's talking to someone with a slight southern accent, because to Craig, he said, you guys were fixing to marry. Dennis!
Maybe that was just his thing this whole episode. It's the stick-up gang. You're fixing to get married.
But then later he got kind of street because he said there's a cop right in your grill. And
I had to
put on caps again because I put on closed caption because I was like, he did not just say in your grill. And he fully said in your grill.
Yeah, he did.
Dennis is a man for all seasons, a man for all. Okay, and then this was a weird one. So when the boyfriend, Craig, is saying the cop won't let him go into the crime scene, Dennis says, no bridge ahead, into the abyss. I'm sorry. What? What
does that mean? I remember that one, and the best is Craig's reaction, because Craig doesn't also does not know what it means. So
yeah,
he
you
just
could
rolls
see
right
on his
over.
Face confusion, yeah. But then he's like, I'm going to try to be polite because I'm being interviewed on Dateline, so I'm not going to say, I'm sorry, what? So he kind of goes with it, and he's like, yes, it was devastating.
What was the bridge too far?
No bridge ahead.
What was the path?
Oh, into no the ahead. Abyss. Like, there was police tape, so that was a bridge that he could not go into, or into the abyss, like Brandy was into an abyss because she's dead? Like, he can't follow her because she's
That's it.
Dead?
It's just because into she heaven? Died.
But then right, what so is the bridge? Oh, because it's closed, because he's still on this mortal coil, and she's dead.
And you immediately are thinking, no more into the, once more into the fray.
Young man, or whatever that quote is.
A bridge too far.
No, but I'm picturing police tape and the cop just saying, wait here. That's literally what Craig says. The cop says, you can't go further. Stay here. This is a crime scene. And Dennis thinks someone being held off, not allowed to enter somewhere, equals no bridge ahead into the abyss. It didn't seem applicable to what Craig had just said.
What's Dennis reading right now? Is he reading like a lot of Russian literature? Is he reading is he doing an Anna Karenina phase? What's happening here? It's a lot of Victor Hugo, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I could see that.
It's a very classical literature sound.
But it's very mixed, like mixed metaphors and oddly placed.
Right.
It's like he wasn't really listening to Craig, but he was dying to use that phrase. So he snuck it in whenever he could. The next one was kind of pretty. Call it a good luck bolt from the land of the midnight sun. Alaska was calling.
That's an Alaska television ad.
Isn't it? Come to Alaska, the land of the midnight sun. A good luck bolt will guide your trip. Alaska is calling. Pick up the phone. Come on home.
This is why Dennis went to Alaska.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole Alaska
excited.
Promo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He loved it.
Brand's unhappy to be associated with Dateline? Alaska?
Alaska? Maybe?
Okay, we'll get there.
This was the last quote. This was the one everyone loves and is waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Josh, deprived of elephant doses of steroids, his chemically enhanced muscles deflated like spent balloons.
Poetry.
It's beautiful.
The visual is crystal clear. Could not be clearer.
But to me, Josh kind of just looked chubby and out of shape. And I was picturing, honestly, like a sagging skinned, like a mouse inside the body of an elephant.
But you can't see that in the orange jumpsuit. He definitely
That's true.
Could have.
That's
yeah,
true.
Extra Can skin.
We? Yeah. Precious moments. Did you have any? I did not. I'm dead inside.
I did.
Nothing moved me. Yes.
This may have moved you and you may have forgotten about it. So Brandy's mom talks about how she loved art and she loved to sketch. And I was delighted that when we see her sketches and we see some of her art, it's actually pretty good.
Yes,
and it's
was.
Great. And I was worried because I was in my heart. I thought, oh, I don't want Kimberly to make fun of this. If it's
Did
bad.
You? I would never make fun of an artist expressing themselves.
Then they show these really cool wooden spoons, those big wooden stir spoons.
Yes.
And she looks like she had done like a burnt out design of some nature scenes and some things.
Yeah, it was cool.
I would buy those. Those could be in a store. They could be in an Etsy shop. But it made me really sad because she might be doing okay right now. And she might be able to support her daughter through her art. Had Josh and Sirius, these two bobo idiots, not taken her life for absolutely no reason other than I was mad at her. That, I mean, literally that dumb. And the mom, I don't know. The mom touched me a little. I think the mom's had a hard go of it, and she lost her daughter. And I don't think her life was easy anyways, and I think right. It's not any easier now.
Yeah.
And then I know you have problems with Craig, but the way that the mom described Craig as always putting Brandy first, I thought was a really good description of the kind of guy that he is.
Yes, I agree
and
with
that's,
that.
And that's amazing. And sometimes
people want him to have a little trim.
Sometimes people that are in the looks business that have to focus on people's outward appearance don't always have the best insides. It's not always, as someone who has worked in fashion, I can say that.
That's interesting.
But he actually, I think he's a really good person. And so Brandy's life was looking up, and it makes me sad that she's gone.
I want to know what his history is in dating. Because if he is really this great guy that you think he is.
I have an idea.
Not been married and not taken.
I think he's been married.
Okay.
I think he's been married before for probably maybe about 10 or 15 years. And then just sort of held off.
And then what do you think happened?
As what happens, they just fall apart after 50% of how many marriages end in divorce? Over 50%?
Yeah.
It just fell apart. He probably took some time off dating. And exactly what he said, she walked into his store one day to get her haircut. Mm. And she probably never even thought of him in that way. And he never even thought of her. He said, we just became friends. And then it sort of slowly started to develop.
Yeah.
I don't think it was that fast. I don't think it was a sexy, fun relationship. I think they just were good for each other.
I like that. That's nice. I can accept that.
Thank you.
I just wish he would use less product. So MVP loser, I'm going to give to the cops as the MVPs. Thought they did really well. Dennis, also an MVP because he made me laugh out loud. And I don't think it was necessarily intentional on his part, but he made me laugh several times out loud.
Did he make you giggle in his big parka?
Yes.
In his winter parka?
First of all, I was just shocked that he was in Alaska. I just couldn't believe they sent him there. I mean, he really just stood there. He just really cracked me up. He's kind of like a dorky uncle at this point.
Aww.
That I found very, very amusing.
That's a good description.
My loser is Wendy for sure.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
And you have children. 5 of them. Don't be visiting this man in prison.
What kind of an example is that?
Correct. Reevaluate your life choices. And don't use that baby voice all the time and defend him when he's admitted that he did it. He admitted it. Come on.
Whatever.
No, Wendy. So Brand's unhappy being on Dateline and are now associated with murder. Coles. Happy or sad?
Happy.
You think they got a good plug out of this?
I think Cole's got a good plug because I think Brandy was probably a great employee.
That's true. She seemed happy to be working there. She was getting her life back on track.
Yep.
Working hard. Good for you for hiring her, Cole's.
Yeah.
Nissan Sentra.
The car she was driving.
Yes. It did not cause her to die.
It didn't cause her to die. The interior looked nice.
What? Her window was down. Do you find that? We didn't discuss that. Why was her window down?
I think she was getting ready to yell at the person who was tailing her and pulled off and didn't honestly think she was going to get killed because she didn't seem worried when she hung up the phone with Craig. She was like, this person won't get off my butt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she was rolling down the window to talk to them.
But she had pulled into her house driveway.
But she was at the end. We discussed that she was at the end of this very long driveway out in the dark, remember?
Once more into the abyss.
Once more into the breach. Yeah, I can't. Into the fray. I don't know.
The driveway.
Yes.
So someone was tailing her up her driveway?
Yeah. So I think she was getting ready to be like, what the F are you doing? I think she was probably mad. I would have been scared. But I think she was.
I would have too.
Maybe she was of tougher stock than you and I.
Well, everyone is. But
also, it's not this. I don't think this is a very murderous area.
Town. Yeah, that's true.
Right. I don't think no matter how scared you are, you don't think someone's going to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's true.
I don't know. Alaska?
Alaska, I think, looked gorgeous.
It does. I think it got a good rap in this. Dennis made it seem. What?
You have a murderer that just hangs out there. And you have the town of Sarah Palin again.
Well, that's Wasilla. I think that Alaska as a whole state. I know. Well, that's Wasilla. The ad's not for Wasilla, but Alaska as a whole state looks lovely.
It did look gorgeous. And I know there are good people there because I watch Alaskan Bush People.
And so, it was important enough to send Dennis. So
I think Alaska got a good boost. I think people are going to go, I am going to take that Alaskan cruise.
Uh-huh.
It looks dang lovely there.
Dang lovely.
Yeah. Zane State College, I think that got a bad rap.
Yeah, because their representative in their brochure is in jail for murder.
For murder. And he's on the dean's list and was sent around to represent the school. And is that where he met Josh at that college?
Oh, yeah, being security guards. And they were security guards.
They were security guards at the college, and they were also robbers. Or, I'm sorry, stick-up gang.
They were also in. They were also in a stick-up gang.
Stick-up gang members. I did have a tagline for the college if they want to update their brochure and still keep Sirius on the cover because he's still a handsome dude. Is it could say Zane State College, where roids and romance meet. Because at the end of the day, this is a love story between Sirius and Wendy. An unlikely pairing on paper. She has 5 children and is maybe 70 years older than him. And he is a hot Taye Diggs lookalike. And they fell in love at Zane State College.
Well, couldn't it be more general, though? Like, Zane State College, all are welcome. Murderers and innocent people. Whoever.
Oh, right. That's true. Because because Brandy went there, right?
We don't judge.
No. We'll take anybody. Someone on Twitter did tell me the acceptance rate was like 100%.
Well,
so I think they do take anyone. But again, we applaud people going after their education, no matter what form. At any age. Good for you, Wendy. Joan Rivers Fashion Police. I do want to talk about Josh. So there's one picture of him, not the picture with the boob. It's another picture where he has the worst facial hair I've seen in a long time. And it was literally the outline of 2 W's in hair on his face. So if I can talk it out, it starts on the right and it's like mutton chops. Goes down on the right like sideburns. And then it goes under the chin. And then it goes up in a strip that touches the right side of his mouth. Then it goes back down again under the chin. Then a strip up to the middle of the lip. Then back down again under the chin again, up and touches the left side. Then it goes down again under the chin and then up again for the sideburn.
Maybe he should have gone to see Craig. Get some facial hair schooling.
Great idea. And then there's one more picture of Josh that has hair all over the sides and underneath. And then underneath his chin is a perfect little square. But the whole rest is bald. But it was a little square. So it was like a square within a square of hair and then skin. And then hair covering the rest.
Brandy, why did you love this person?
Was he charming in high school? He couldn't have
been. They didn't meet in high school. They met in college.
Was he charming in college? What happened?
I wish Brandy's mom could have told us a little bit more about them first meeting. I wish we had a little more information.
What she thought about Josh. I want to know. Alternative theories.
Did you have an alternative theory?
Well, I did perhaps think something that Craig wanted Brandy to curl and perm her hair. Because that was his thing, and she refused and wanted it straight. They got into a fight about it. I also questioned the sister who found the body.
Tess.
We never got to meet her.
We did not.
What was her deal?
What was your alibi?
I do love the name Tess. Tess of the D'Urbervilles.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't think.
She sounded upset. Very literature-heavy
episode.
She sounded upset on the phone, on the 911 call. But
yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's not likely because the other 2 guys confessed. But what if Tess was in the stick-em-up gang?
I think, honestly, my only alternative theory is that an outside information that sort of made me go, huh, was that they weren't only robbing stores and things like that. They were also robbing private residents. And they were also robbing. They weren't robbing anyone. They were robbing drug dealers. Sirius was finding out about when they would have the most money. Sirius was kind of involved in drugs, which I'm thinking he was involved in steroids and things like that. So they were doing some very, very, very dangerous things, and Brandy knew all about it. Now,
wait, I thought she didn't.
She did know. She knew.
I think the Dateline producer said there was no evidence that she had found out about the robberies.
Well, the article that I read said that she knew. Said that she knew and that she could have put them away for 40 years each. Easy. I think it's part of the reason they broke up. Probably all the reason they broke up. Why would you want to date someone who was a criminal, right?
Well, he was also abusive and jackass and on drugs. There were many reasons they probably broke up.
All of these things. But I think that actually Sirius had a little bit more of a motive than we hear about in the episode. I think Sirius didn't want to be turned in by this crazy ex-wife. Because he was part of this gang.
But do you think it's possible that the kill, if it wasn't them, could have been a retaliation by some drug dealers?
No, I don't. But I think that Sirius's willingness to do it was not just because this is what dudes do for their due. I think Sirius did it for himself as well.
Right, right. Yeah. So he was into a lot more deep stuff.
Yes. And I think that that's why he
said,
we'll
such a nice smile.
Take out a witness. Okay, well. So did Ted Bundy.
That's true. Do we have any other titles?
Yeah, I've got some. Do you have some?
Oh, good. I'm excited for yours because mine are not good this week.
Mine are okay.
Okay. Dennis on Ice.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. Seriously? I don't know. Everyone did it on Twitter. I did a few of those.
Yeah.
Dudes Do for Dudes.
Yeah.
The One with Josh's Right Boob. That's my friend's title.
Your friend's title. It's good.
And I Can See Russia and Roids from My House.
That's good. You did good. Thanks. I'm proud.
Thanks.
I had Execution of a Murder because she was executed yeah, whatever.
Oh, and they executed their plan. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then I had Cold Hearted Killer because he was in Alaska. Doing it from Alaska. But then I also had Cole's Hearted Killer.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere.
And then I had...
I don't normally go for the puns, enjoy Cole's.
And then I had Seriously Dangerous. And then I had...
I don't know why that's making you laugh so much.
Instead of Serious Underwood, I had Serious Under Investigation.
They did a good investigation. That was last week.
But it was Serious Under Investigation. Serious Under Investigation. Oh,
I thought you were saying under investigated. No. Like they were under investigated.
As
like
in
last
Sirius
week.
Is in Under Investigation, but That's his name good. Is Serious Underwood. I just replaced Wood with Investigation.
I got confused. It's too smart for me. That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
I'm sure there are better ones, but that's what I had at the tip of my head for this.
I like it.
Did you win bingo?
I didn't even play bingo. But
I almost played this time and I added a lot
of cards. They're on Twitter. We're going to put them online on Facebook and our webpage. There's some really good ones. I used everyone's suggestions on Twitter that gave me suggestions for new bingo stuff.
Did you use mine?
No, I don't remember if I used yours or not. I'm sure I did.
I know a lot about Dateline. You should use mine.
I'm sure I did.
You're saying it in a really high-pitched tone of voice that makes me think that you didn't. Oh, my gosh. I used yours. You're not a good friend.
Some of yours are too specific, and they're very hard. Like interrogation room blanket. I think that's only happened, like, twice ever.
Did I really say blanket?
Yes. When they're wrapping
it happens a lot, though.
It doesn't happen that much. It happens sometimes. I don't feel like it happens enough.
I have Twitter now. I'm going to tweet mine out and see what people think, and I bet they'll love them.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, love might be a strong word, but that's fine. All right, what did Twitter have for us this evening?
Okay, Manuel Faulty. Why has that cup of coffee taken center stage to Josh confessing? Talk about upstaging. Okay, did you notice that?
I did notice. Yes, that's funny.
There was a camera on the table shooting Josh's confession, and there was this. It made it look like a giant cup of coffee.
Why didn't they just move it?
Why didn't they just move the camera? Why didn't they move the coffee? It It looks like an artsy shot, like a Wes Anderson movie or something, or like a Hitchcock. I thought they were going for something like really dramatic there.
That's amazing. Bob Dylan's going to start playing. That's
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just sort of arty.
Like, that yeah. coffee cup means something.
The kinks.
It was like,
yeah, it's good.
That's what I thought. And then Ron said, "Glad they moved that damn coffee cup." And John Carafa said, "Yo, coffee cup." I think he was yelling at them. The coffee cup's in the shot,
everyone's
guys.
Mad. But they know that's not Dateline, right? That's
the way the police shot it. Was it like a camcorder? They had sat on the table?
Yes, it was a phone.
Was
They'd
it in the
up.
Room with the
they
purple
They leaned it
wallpaper?
Up against something. Yeah, it was the purple wallpaper room.
Okay, Gary Georgievich, it's bad luck to rob a guy in a purple hat. I wish that was a thing, like walking under a ladder, and it was like common knowledge. Didn't you know you're not supposed to rob a guy in a purple hat? That's why they're getting into all this trouble.
You robbed a leprechaun.
Mark S. They were green, not purple.
Prince-themed at leprechaun.
Okay. Mark S. Sardella. Apparently, Craig only does other people's hair. See?
Don't be a jerk, Mark.
Sheila Taylor Clark. So, Craig's a hairstylist? Huh.
Stop it. I don't like these.
Summer of Soaps. Dear God, Craig, cut your own hair. Love me.
Craig,
okay, I'm going to move on.
Craig is enough.
Craig is enough. One chicklet. A single mom of five has a boyfriend and I... Never mind.
Oh, no.
I hear you, sister. But we have to remember that he's a criminal, a murderer.
Yeah,
but
he's like
still pretty hot.
He's a bad criminal. I mean, not that any criminals are good, but he didn't just, you know.
But he treated her well. He took her
he didn't
skydiving.
Swipe it. Yeah, but he didn't, I don't know. If he'd like swiped a chapstick from Rite Aid, that's fine.
Right.
You can still date him.
No, he's a murderer. Yeah, he's a murderer. Don't forget. Dateline producer says the E in Sirius's name. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Stands for Elixir. Sirius Elixer Underwood.
I think that was my unspeakable moment.
You were speechless.
I was speechless. It was unspeakable. I didn't know what to say.
Elixir. Sirius Elixer Underwood. Yeah. Really.
Ben, you better be good looking with a name like that.
Yeah, that's true.
They are setting you up, son. Like
to be beaten up on the playground?
No, you just have to be good. Like, your name just sort of oozes sex appeal. So you...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You better be sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it does. It does. I'm naming my son Elixir because he's going to be an elixir of love for all the women out there.
It's literally, if you name your kid Kitten McCall, she better do burlesque and she better do it well. If her name
she
is
does.
Kitten McCall.
She does good work. You're a lamb. This is really hilarious to me that Sirius is like the face of Zane State and then dates the lady face. This is perfect. Can we have an episode about them but without murder? I mean, it kind of would be cute if it was not murder and there wasn't the age gap and she didn't have the five babies.
The age gap is fine. It's the five babies and then the boyfriend's in prison. It's the worst example I've ever seen.
But could it be a rom-com without the murder? The two faces of this state college go around town
and get in
having
hijinks.
Adventures, hijinks, and they're like have to go meet the mayor and promote the college, and then they tip over the hors d'oeuvres table by accident. And then
it's like Party Down meets Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Yes.
At
yeah.
College.
I could see it. Yeah, yeah. I think it
All
would
right.
work.
Okay.
Treyon Greyjoy, Sirius Underwood would be a great porno name. That's kind of what you were saying.
So would Treyon Greyjoy.
Yeah.
By the way, let's get
wow.
real.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Dateline producer, this is good. Sirius was driving, I don't know how you didn't find this. Sirius was driving a Prius with a girlfriend. They don't say Wendy. It could be another girlfriend. When cops arrested him. He initially tried to elude them in what proved to be a slow speed chase through Zanesville.
Jesus. Oh my God.
So between that and Josh getting shot in the the fake heist when he's playing the security guard that's getting robbed. He gets shot. Whoops, hijinks. And then Sirius, the other brainchild here, it takes the police on a chase in his Prius, but it was just a slow speed chase
in the silent town of Zanesville. In the Prius that makes no sound. So it's not even like there's engines revving. It's just a weird little space car. Wow.
So to that, Sheila Taylor Clark responded and said, "Who tries to get away from police in a Prius? Are y'all sure he was on the dean's list? I need to see Sirius's grades." And then with the GIF that says, "I want to see the receipts."
That's amazing.
How hard is it to get on the dean's list at this school?
Yeah.
Because now we've seen things of him that are brilliant, and we've also seen things from him that are really, really dumb.
So what do we call this? It's not birtherism. It's
great.
Smarterism? Intelligenceism?
Like where we're questioning, we are starting a conspiracy theory about Sirius being on the dean's list.
Yeah.
Yeah, dean's listism.
Okay. I'm fine.
It's dean's listism, yeah. Lady Vava 76, Josh is at least a G cup. She's like the only one who noticed the boob shot. How has no one else noticed his giant booby hanging out?
I don't know. I don't know how I didn't notice it, but I did not.
Ginormous.
It is. When you showed it to me, I was shocked, perplexed, and a little sick.
Yeah, I was too. Be bad fan, that wallpaper in the conference room where they're interviewing Josh is hurting my eyes.
Yeah.
A lot of people were very upset about that wallpaper.
It was almost like an optical illusion in purple. It was a lot of purple.
Yeah, very distracting from the murder.
Again,
Josh Mankiewicz says, "Tonight's Dateline takes place in Zanesville, Ohio, known as the pottery capital of the world. Write that down for later reference." I don't think we needed that.
Is it?
Yeah. A few people mentioned it. It's someone else, Elizabeth West, Limey Lizzie, says that Zanesville is home of the famous Rookwood Pottery and this treasure by artist Van Briggel. Who does sculpting.
Now, does Brandy's mom work in a bottle factory that makes, like, clay bottles? That makes pottery bottles? A specialty bottle?
If so, they should not have said bottle factory because that led me to think of Laverne and Shirley.
100%. Or it makes you think of Diet Coke or whatever, like a plastic bottle. But
I don't think it was that kind of bottle factory. I don't think it was a clay artsy thing. I think it was what they said it was, which was factory job. I just don't know why they felt the need to say it.
I'm going to look it up the minute that we're done here because I'm going to be upset. I'm just going to say.
That's all I got for Twitter. What did you give this episode? Ratings out of 5 cell phone pings?
I'm going to give it a 3.9.
Oh, okay. That's
higher than last week because we know who did it. And because the police were much more competent.
Yes.
And I wasn't screaming and frustrated because I didn't understand the chair. Also, someone on Facebook did point out, by the way, that you can lose bladder control when you have seizures.
Thank you. So
People have been commenting. Yeah.
I want to know the pee test if she peed her pants.
Yes.
Let us know. That was the most negligent police work I'd seen in a long time.
It was a good juxtaposition on this.
Yeah, they did a great job this week.
Yeah,
I gave it 4.5. I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed Dennis. He cracked me up. The boob shot really might have scarred me for life. That is the reason I did not give it a higher grade. But other than that, I liked it. I had a lot of people to dislike.
Now it is my goal in life to get that picture of Josh with the boob as your cell phone backdrop picture.
Oh my God.
This will be happening time I'm over.
I can't. I had to take a picture of it to show you, and that meant I had to look at it for longer than I wanted to. I'm going to tweet it. I want everyone to be as scarred as I am, basically. Things in the news. We do want to say that the Olympics are coming February 9th, but it might be sooner on NBC. So you're going to have to get used to no Dateline. We're trying to help. We're going to ease you through it. Okay. So Joanne Ski Joey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's her name, suggested, because we were talking about the Olympics, she said, why don't they just put Josh and Keith as commentators for figure skating? I said, well, that's genius, because that's so smart. I want to see Andrea in the little fur hat, the faux fur hat. She would look so stunning. And we just thought it was the most brilliant idea ever. And then she said, can you imagine? And Dateline wrote back, can we imagine? We dream of it every 4 years. Date-limpics. Keith, she nailed that triple Lutz. Josh, oh, please. She totally two-footed the landing. Keith, or did she? Josh, whatever.
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
I think, you know, they have, like, Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir being all sassy. Josh and Mank could be just as sassy. Come on.
It'd be great.
And then RJ said, I wonder what kind of shade that Dateline would throw at the host town. Because, you know, they always throw shade. So he said, we come live from you from the whole cold, hard, dark country of Russia to bring you Datelympics events that will be so hotly contested it will melt the ice. And oh yeah, Mark Twain once lived in a shack over yonder in the distance. For newcomers, they mentioned to Mark Twain anytime a murder takes place anywhere near he was born, just no reason.
Is Mark Twain on the cards?
Should be. I responded to RJ and I said, only a stone's throw across the ocean from the beloved Alamo.
Remember it. Why don't you do Mark Twain / Alamo on one of the bingo cards?
That's not a bad idea.
It could definitely cover some ground.
Well, I don't, they just really feel like they have to say that.
You could do literary figure / historical site. It doesn't even have to be from the town. It doesn't even have to be that
specific. Then they always show B-roll footage of tourists visiting.
Always.
So they know that we can go there. And then I also want to say our petition, our very exciting petition for Dateline merchandise. We finally got to 100 people. Yes, we did. We're changing the world, people. But can I just say, Katie was the number 100 signer. She wanted to be. She got it.
Thank you to whomever let me know. I really appreciate it. Oh, my God. Who was it?
They saved us because we never would have realized we were at 99. It was Leanne Thomas who said she was 99 on the petition, and that was what let us know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leanne.
Golden God.
And I don't check Twitter that often, so it was divine. It was divine intervention that happened.
I could not believe it. I was so happy. And I guess that's pretty much all we have to say.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, new listeners. We're excited to have you. Welcome to the group. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to us on iTunes, and please leave a review.
You can make a donation. paypal.me/datewithdateline.
Yes. And then you can also talk to me on Facebook. I'm all alone there because Kimberly refuses to be on Facebook. So
talk to Katie.
You can talk to me. I do respond.
She needs
a friend. I do like it.
But really come to Twitter because that's where the fun stuff is happening.
Oh, whatever.
Don't watch alone. Watch with Josh's boob because he lost it.
Oh,
it deflated.
Lord. Watch with the boob. Don't be a boob.
Okay. I don't really like that.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye, everybody.